or transcendent knowledge. So, we should all take Bhagavad Gita, study. There's so many wonderful verses. Today we're just picking one verse. We're mentioning how Krishna is telling us about the process to get free from the anxiety by surrendering to Him. So in this verse, He's telling us how many in the past have done that. It's not a bluff. It's not something, you know, hope against hope. But Krishna is going to describe here how so many souls have already done this. In other words, the path is chalked out. We simply have to follow. Yenakata sapanta. Follow the path of the Mahajan. Mahajana yenakata. So many Mahajans, great souls, have already traversed this path and come out of the miserable condition of birth and death. But in order to do it, we have to be serious. Serious to give up our material attachments. So that will be possible if we have knowledge. So here Krishna is giving us some knowledge. Let's read this verse. Vitaraga vayakroda manmaya man upashitaha bhava jnana tapasa putta madbhavam adyataha. We can do it word by word. Vita.
Vita.
Freed from.
Freed from.
Srila Prabhupada. So here's Krishna speaking. He says, being free from attachments, fear and anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus as they all attained transcendental love for me. Purport. Shri Chaitanya Manavisam Shapitam Jena Bhutale Vayam Upakaramaya Nidat Kisa Parantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunityananda Shiraki Radha Shivasri Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Krishna is informing us about the nature of God. Or Srila Prabhupada is informing us in the purport here. He's saying, don't think that God is not a person. It may be easy to think that because we see that personality is limited. In other words, we're persons and we're very limited. We can't be here in the temple and in our house at the same time. We're limited. We can't see what's going on in the next room. So when we hear that God is a person, we may think, oh, this is anthropomorphism. We're just imagining God to be like us. So the materialists will criticize, what kind of religion is this? You're making God as a person. But actually, if we examine very objectively, we see that personality has features that are, you can say, very valuable or very wonderful, and they have an advantage. In other words, and a person can take the initiative. So we use that. I mean, we're happy with that quality that we have. We can take the initiative. We have also personal qualities like compassion. A mountain may be very great, but it has no compassion. It's just, you know, it's just dead. Or the sun may be very great, but it doesn't have any feelings. But a person has feelings. And therefore, when we glorify a person more because they're really noble, because they can choose between evil and good. And if they choose to be noble and they choose to be compassionate, then we say, oh, that's a good person. And we give our eulogy to that person, more than we do to the sun or the mountain, although they may be very great. So, the common sense is that if we appreciate personal features in the creation, then how can we suppose that the Creator is lacking in those features? This is common sense. If we're very small, but we're persons, we have advantage, then how can the one who made us and made the whole creation not also be a person? No, he's a person, but he's not a person like us. This is the point. Because we're very limited. But Krishna is Advaita. He's one, Achyuta. But he inconceivably, he's Ananta Rupa. He has unlimited forms. This is described in the Brahma Samhita. Lord Brahma, he was also doubtful how Krishna could be a person, especially a small person, because Krishna was playing the role of a cowherd boy, of a young cowherd boy, and he was with his friends in the forest, and they were having a picnic, and Brahma was, he was doubtful. This can't be God. How can God be just a small child playing with his friends? So by his mystic power, because Brahma had such power, he stole, Krishna went away for a moment, and he stole all the boys and all the calves, and he kept them hidden. So Krishna, of course, could understand what was taking place. So he immediately expanded himself into unlimited. All these boys again were expanded, just like before, only it was actually Krishna, his expanded, his direct expansion, and the calves also. Krishna performed a wonderful miracle. So when Brahma came back, then he saw that, wait a minute, I just took all these boys and calves, but here they are still here. So he was really bewildered by the whole thing, and of course later he came and he apologized to the Lord, and he fell at his feet and he said, let others say that they know God, but I'll never make that claim. So this is the humility we should have, that God is inconceivable. And if we try to bring him under our microscope, or bring him into the, you know, laboratory for experimenting, it won't be possible. He's beyond our jurisdiction. But still, with common sense, we should appreciate there must be God. There must be a person behind the cosmos, how everything is going on with this plan. How can we say, just by chance, the sun is rising, the seasons are changing, the ocean is remaining within its limit. We're only a few miles from the water, but we're not in anxiety, because we know the law is keeping the ocean in its place. So who is creating that law? How is it that the nature is going on with such a wonderful design? Because there's an intelligence behind it. And intelligence means a person. Intelligence means a brain. And a brain means a person. So we're proud of our brain. We can make money and do so many things. So how do we suppose that God doesn't have a brain? This is the proper understanding. So Prabhupada is making this point that we should give up this material conception. He could be a person, but he's not a person like you. Therefore, such people, materialistic people, they become impersonalists. Impersonalists. They think that the absolute truth is just some formless energy. But this is actually insulting to God. Just like if I come into your house and I start using everything in your house, without recognizing that you're the proprietor and that I should get permission from you. So this is the defect with the impersonalists. They take it that everything is just by nature, and so we can use everything for our own advantage, but we don't have to recognize that there's a person behind it who is the actual proprietor and the controller and the enjoyer. And we have a relationship with that person. We should develop that relationship. And that relationship is one of master and servants. So the impersonalists, they try to avoid this reality. They don't want to become servant. They want to think, that imagine themselves as master. And so they don't get the mercy of the Lord, not the full mercy. They may get some aspect. They may get some power or some benediction from the Lord. Because the Lord is so kind that he even gives the atheists their quota. The atheists are also eating and being maintained. So the Lord may give so much, but he will never give himself. Only the devotee can attract the personal feature or the person of the Lord Himself. And then, out of love, the Lord is happy to reciprocate with such a devotee, like Mother Yashoda. Because Mother Yashoda loves Krishna so much, Krishna is happy to be her baby and suckle her breast and exhibit so many wonderful childhood pastimes for her pleasure. This is the position of the personalist devotee. God agrees to become subordinate. Mother is superior to the child, but baby Krishna agrees to become subordinate to Mother Yashoda out of love. So this personal feature of the Lord is open to us also. We can also develop our personal relationship with Krishna. But first we have to qualify. Here, Krishna is saying that many, many people in the past have qualified, so why can't we also qualify? And how do we become qualified? First, we should become free from attachment, fear, and anger, he says in this verse. Attachment. Well, what is attachment? It means we're attached to something other than God. And because of that attachment, we can't give our love to God. Simple idea. You can't be the real lover of something temporary and at the same time claim that you're fully loving God. Therefore, we have to give up our attachment to these temporary things, beginning with our own body. Our own body is the first thing that we become attached to, even it may get old and ugly and so many things. But we still very attached to it. We want to keep it so nice and protected in all circumstances, keep it healthy. But this overly concerned with the body is like idol worship. The body is going to be finished, but we remain. So why are we worshiping this body, this temporary form of flesh and blood? Because of illusion. So because of that illusion, then we can't, you can say, have access to the transcendental body of the Lord. The Lord is ready to reciprocate with us. He's very close to us. He's in our heart. But because of attachment, we don't realize that. So, beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is preaching to Arjuna, give up this attachment, especially to your body and to your bodily relations. Arjuna is saying, how can I fight? These are my relatives. But for Krishna's service, we have to be ready to give up everything. This is the highest morality. Okay? So here Prabhupada is talking again about those who are uninformed. Generally they compare the living entities to the bubbles of the ocean, which merge into the ocean. That is the highest perfection of spiritual existence attainable without individual personality. I don't want to lose your attention by going on and on. It's easy to become dissipated in our attention. Because the mind is so restless. In the Kali Yuga it's described that none of us are very qualified. Manda sumanda mataya manda bhagi parita. The Kali Yuga means that we are born in an inauspicious condition. We're not born from high class parents. Our parents weren't dedicated to God. And so we're conceived in that condition of sex life. And so from the very beginning, we have a disadvantage. We're not interested in spiritual life. We're lazy when it comes to spiritual practice. We are easily full of doubt and become faithless. So in such a condition then, spiritual life may become hopeless. That's what Prabhupada is mentioning here. We become hopeless. What is it? It's so perplexing. You know, if God is all powerful, God is all good, why doesn't He stop all the cruelty in the world? People will ask. Why is so much innocent children are being suffering So this is one doubt that may attack us. So many doubts. But on the positive side, we have information that in the Kali Yuga, sometimes the demigods even want to come as human beings. Why is that? Because of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the process of spiritual life has been made very easy. Kala Dosha Nereraja, Asiheko Mahaguna, Kirtananeva, Mukta, Kirtananeva, Mukta Sangat Ramvajay, that the kirtan is so powerful that simply by taking to the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, even though we have all this disqualification, being born, you can say, at the bottom of the barrel of the Kali Yuga, the yugas change, from Satya Yuga is the best, and then Treta Yuga, then Dwapara Yuga, then Kali Yuga is the worst. So we're children of Kali Yuga, but the process is made so easy that even though we're disqualified in so many ways, if we sincerely take this chanting, then we can qualify ourselves. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us this process. Chaito Dharpanam Vajanam Bhava Mahadavagini Nivarpanam. This process of cleansing the dirty thing from our hearts. But in order to do that, we have to be willing to take the spiritual process as being described here. Being absorbed in me, taking refuge in me, many, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they attained to the perfection of transcendental love. This is a perfectional stage. When we love God with our whole heart, our whole mind, our whole soul, and our neighbor as ourselves, then we can say we've attained perfection. So that perfectional stage is attainable. So we shouldn't become disappointed or discouraged. We should remain on the path of spiritual advance. And in order to do that, it's important to associate with the devotees or those who are similarly serious about spiritual life. By that association, we'll become enlightened. Vishantichā, Ramantichā. Krishna says, my devotees, they encourage each other, enliven each other by discussing about me and about this philosophy. So it's actually a very joyful process and a very enlivening, but we have to associate with the devotees. This is the beginning. Because we're social creatures, if we don't associate with devotees, then we associate with the non-devotees, means Hare Krishna. Means that we'll become like them. And what is the qualification of the non-devotee? They're simply interested to enjoy life, enjoy the senses. They don't care about the future life. They want to eat, drink, and be merry. And they think when you're dead, you're dead. Everything is finished. Or if they have some idea that you may live after death, but they don't have any scientific understanding of the law of karma and what kind of position we're going to go to and so on, how it's all arranged by what we deserve, what we desire. They just take it as something not very important. And the real important thing is this life. And we should eat and be happy. But they see, practically, that this leads to frustration. That the arrangement of, no matter how we arrange the material world, it doesn't seem that we can become happy here. There's been so many attempts to make the environment friendly for us to go on enjoying here. And America, of course, is the biggest attempt. But even with all this intelligence, still there seems to be a problem. Now we're in anxiety. Oh, when is the next terrorist attack coming? We have to be careful. This is the 4th of July. Weekend is coming. They may put a bomb somewhere. So this is just one kind of anxiety. Otherwise, the problems are coming. Sometimes we give the example of the ocean. When the ocean is there, the waves are coming. If we try to check the wave by pushing it down, then another wave is coming. Similarly, we try to solve one problem. We think, oh, if I make money, then I'll solve my economic problem. But even economic problem is solved, another problem is coming. Oh, my son is becoming a hippie, or what do they become now? Punk or something. He won't listen to me. I've worked so hard to get him a nice home, nice education, and now he's acting like a foolish person. My mother is sick, and this is another problem. Or my father died. Every family, there's always a problem. You can't avoid it. Why is that? According to Bhagavad Gita, because this is a foreign nature that we're in. There's another nature, Krishna says. Beyond this material nature, which we're struggling hard with, there is another nature which we should qualify ourselves for. What is that nature? That is the spiritual world, spiritual nature. And here Krishna is saying that many, many people have attained to that nature. Thus they all attain. So we can also attain. But we have to be serious. So, therefore, the material nature, her job is to somehow or other make us serious. How does she do that? She does that by kicking us. Everybody would think, oh no, I'm not going to suffer. I'm going to be happy in life. I'm going to have a happy life. But the nature's coming. Oh, you think you can be happy? Here, take this trouble. Nobody wants the trouble. Nobody wants the suffering. But it's coming automatically. Just like nobody wants that disease, but it has to come. So in the same way, happiness will also come. We don't have to seek out happiness. Try to be happy by being born in the right country so we can win the World Cup. Now, right, all the people in Brazil are happy because they won the World Cup. So now India, I read in the Times of India today that why can't we also have World Cup class soccer team? And they will be happy, like the Brazilians are happy. So this is how we're looking for happiness. But this kind of happiness is running through our fingers. We can't hold it. And along with every happiness, there's also a trouble. When somebody has to lose, you may win, but the other nation is losing, and so they're unhappy. We heard in Argentina, when they lost, they went out on the street, they had riots. The people are such fools. They smashed in the windows and so on, because their team lost. So this is the material world, happiness and distress. You think you can always win? Who is that person who's always winning? It's not possible. The time element won't allow you to always win. You have to be defeated by the time element in the form of old age and disease and death. So, therefore, Krishna's advising, become detached from this duality. How is that possible? By becoming attached to the Lord and things in relationship to the Lord. Just like we worship Tulsi. Tulsi is in relationship to Krishna. So we can be attached to a nice Tulsi plant, keep in our house, water her, decorate her, worship her. That kind of attachment, rather than being attached to some football team, that attachment will elevate us, will bring us to the spiritual world. So many things on the spiritual side we can become attached to. We can become attached to the devotees of Krishna. So many devotees are there. Why not develop a relationship with them? We can become attached to the chanting of the name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. For those who go deeply into this chanting, then attachment will come. And they won't want to go a day without regularly chanting this mantra, because it brings satisfaction, a deep sense of well-being into their heart, into their soul. So that kind of attachment, like Haridas Thakur, and Rupa Goswami is praying for millions of tongues so he can hear the two syllables Krishna, because he's attached to hearing and chanting about Krishna. We can become attached to the deity of the Lord. Like now, in a few minutes, we're going to have aarti, the deity will open. We can appreciate, oh, this is such a nice form of the Lord, Lord Jagannath, with the big eyes, and Krishna, and Radha, and Gornitai. So, why not? Lord Chaitanya was so attached that when he saw Lord Jagannath, he fainted. He used to come every day to see the Lord, and tears would come from his eyes because he was attached to the form of the Lord. So we can't imitate that, but why not practice? Just like by practicing, people can become attached to drinking beer. Beer is such a nasty tasting. Or if you go on drinking and drinking and drinking, then after a while, hey, this tastes good. Right? You develop your attachment to the poison. It's really a poison, alcohol. So in the same way, by practicing, come in front of the deity, see the beautiful dress of the deity, you'll become attached. That attachment can save you from birth and death, from the cycle of birth and death. But it's not cheap. Sometimes we say, God is free. Anybody can come in and see. So we're not charging anything. When you come to the door, you have to pay money to see Krishna. No, it's free. But it's not cheap. It's free, but it's not cheap. You have to want it. You have to practice it. So develop some attachment on the spiritual side. Another way to become attached is to become attached to Krishna in the form of prasada, nice spiritual food that we'll be having this evening. We see that's the easy way to become attached. People, now there's what? 30, 40 people? When the prasada is served, there'll be 300 people. People become attached. That's good. By simply by eating, they can make advance. But of course, if you get attached to hearing about Krishna, that's a more direct, not more direct, but more potent. No, I can't even say more potent. Because prasada is also potent. But it is quicker. If you understand Krishna by hearing the philosophy, then you can make quicker advancement. By eating, even if you don't understand what you're eating, you can also make advancement, but it's a slower process. It may take you some lifetimes. But by hearing this philosophy and actually understanding it, then very quickly you can make advancement. Therefore, Prabhupada is mentioning, we should hear from the proper authority, from the proper source. This is a process. In India, we used to go sometimes to hear the sadhus. You come into the room, you're supposed to come like this. Okay. You're coming to hear. Because this is the most valuable thing. They have some message, some information that can benefit us. This is a real valuable thing. So hear this message regularly. We have so many books on the subject. You can read in your own home, we'll look through, try to understand. If you have any questions, you can come, ask the devotees. In this way, you can change your life. You can make it one of progressive spiritual advancement. Otherwise, the tendency is to become more and more attached, even up to the point of death. And thus, another life, we have to go into the womb. And again, the same problem. And again, at the time of death, another body. So we want to get free from this cycle of birth and death. This is our goal. So Krishna here is explaining how to do that. I'll read the verse again. Being free from attachment, fear, and anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all attained transcendental love for me. Are there any questions? Okay, thank you very much. Bhagavad Gita ki.